Hey guys, this is Derek from the Idle Chatter podcast. I just want to, I guess not warn you, but tell you that we had some issues with the audio. We almost lost the show, but I was able to recover all the audio, but it's going to sound a little weird. So please bear with us. It's fixed now, so that's good. So next episode, if you choose to listen, it's going to be great. I don't know why you wouldn't. We're having our first listener call-in podcast. That means we take phone calls from you. You call us 818-850-3765. You leave a message and we'll play it and we'll talk to you guys. So yeah, enjoy the show, and I'm excited about the next show. All right, take care guys. Enjoy. Bye. Welcome to Idle Chatter, the podcast where we talk about formerly HBO, but Max's new TV show, The Idol. I'm your host, Derek Brown, and with me is the very hilarious, very, very funny Marla.
Marley Brando.
is it Marla Gotti this time, or you want to change it?
Oh, I'm going to change it every week, but it's Marley Brando this week.
Cool, Brando. So, we're talking about the episode Daybreak, which I really enjoyed, but we'll go into that later. Let's talk about last show. Guys, thank you for doing the comments and the polls. I'm going to read them. Here are the polls. So the question was, is the show too oddly sexual? And we got one saying, it's the ick factor. Shout out to Not Your Manic Pixie again. Not Your Manic Pixie says, I figured out why it's so gross. And I watched the YouTube video that she put. And I kind of agree. Then we got CJ Morris. We got Anna for answering. So we got no, because Euphoria is way more graphic. And then we just got a plain yes from someone. I forgot who that was. But shout out to you. I think it was Anna. But yeah, I think it's correct. I think it's oddly sexual and should be that way. Damn. What do you think, Marla?
I thought it was more sexual than Euphoria.
Really? I haven't seen Euphoria.
I think the dialogue is a lot more sexual, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the sex scenes in Euphoria, I think make sense. We could get into this later, but I feel like this show, it was scene, sex scene, scene, sex scene, scene, sex scene.
We'll talk about it. I really like this episode. This is my favorite episode of the entire series.
I will say I do like this episode. I think I like it a lot better than the other ones.
Yeah.
For various reasons. And so the people that say I'm totally negative, I wrote a lot of positive comments. Mm-hmm. Can I read one, Derek?
Sure. Let's read the.
We open up with this scene, third episode, right? So we're right in the middle. Uh-huh. It's called Daybreak. This is my comment. Isn't it every girl's dream to get eaten out in the back of a Lincoln Continental as your assistant drives it? I love a guy who compliments and objectifies me. I think this is a great show for women.
Is that your comment that you put?
Yes, I left this show feeling super good about female empowerment, and okay. I think I want a Tedris of my own.
I got it. Okay. Let's not go into the show yet. We still got some housekeeping to do. So we got some bad reviews. You know what? Thank you for the reviews anyway. Also, if you guys haven't reviewed us, do it. So we're going to talk about the bad ones, which we shouldn't, because we have a lot of positive feedback, but the bad comments on the Apple podcast form, whatever it's called.
People got really offended that we didn't know who Sharon Tate was.
One, I did know who Sharon Tate was because I brought it up. I think they're mad because I said that she was murdered by Charles Manson and not the cult, which happens. People get mad. I have a joke about this. I do stand up and I have a joke about this part of the lore of Charles Manson. So it's fine. And let's see, they say, "I don't know anything about Prince," which is wrong because that's like my favorite Prince song. I'm the one who spotted it. And let's talk about the major one for Marla. You want to say how you feel about the comments? Are you being a hater?
Oh, I'm a girl hater. I'm a buzzkill. I shouldn't be on a podcast if it's a show that we don't like. And here's my argument. Mm-hmm. Fine, fucking fair. I'm a human. Maybe sometimes I'm a little bit negative. Okay. If you want positivity, then go to fucking Chick-fil-A, because this isn't a positive show. I wanted to like it, the show, which is why we chose to do a podcast about it. But like, it's not my favorite show. Content isn't supposed to be positive all the time. Like, art is not supposed to be positive. You can have opinions whether you like something or not. So whoever the fuck comment wrote that, yeah, I'm triggered. And your comments sound a little incel-y. Okay? That's what I'm going to say. It sounded like you don't like when women have a voice.
You want to keep that in? You want to keep that in, right?
Whatever. We can keep it in or not.
I would, yeah, get it all out. Let's get the anger out. Well, okay. Go ahead.
I read it and I think it's hilarious, but I feel like I wanted to say my piece. Like, I think it's very weird that people are surprised that there's negative feedback and thoughts about the show. Like, I feel like in all of the reviews that I've watched, it's like a very hard to watch show. I'm just saying it's a hard to watch show. I think you and I chose this show because we wanted to like it.
Yeah. I mean, so this podcast is exactly like the show. Like, the first two episodes, we're like kind of figure it out, and a lot of bad reviews. But you know what? I love this show the same way I do The Idol. And let's talk about you being negative. I think it's criticism is. I think you're supposed to not just blindly like it. I think it's good podcasting if we have two different voices, one who likes the show, one who doesn't. So I think there's a lot of people who listen to our podcast and don't like the show, which is fine. But yeah, I just think it's totally fine. This is not like a Marvel podcast show where we talk about how much we love Marvel, because there's no written, this is the one-on-one. There's no like pre-Idol or some accompanying show with it, but whatever.
I mean, I think if anything, it's probably the most conversation we've had about a show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's interesting because I feel like you and I both watch Succession. We really, really love Succession. So that, I can imagine that conversation would probably be a lot more positive, energetic, and upbeat. But this show, like you said, is like, you know, I feel like I catch myself watching the show and I'm like, fuck, at certain scenes.
So The Weeknd came out, he had a GQ article, and it really made me believe in the show, because he was like, yeah, it's the sex scenes are supposed to be not sexy. They're supposed to be, you're supposed to be grossed out by them. He talks about how the character Tedros is just a shitty person, and that's why. And just to talk about The Weeknd, I think The Weeknd is an R&B artist who kind of lives this current life. And he also dated people like Selena Gomez for a bit. So Selena Gomez, who's kind of the same pop star, so the same era, he's dated supermodels too. Not saying like just because you date someone you know, you could do a show about him. I'm just saying, I think he has more experience and just knows stories about all this stuff that happened. He says this stuff has happened.
Oh, like it's like art imitating life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's writing it from experience. I'm surprised that there's not any like Me Too controversies that have come out as a result of this show, or if Selena Gomez is like, the part in the fitting room is not just in the show.
Yeah, I think the show is supposed to be uncomfortable, and that's totally fine, because it's supposed to be a satire. Like, it's supposed to be, this is kind of like a joke way. Like, The Weeknd say this is a satire show, and I think people are really confused about why would The Weeknd, artist that we love, By the way, who is very secretive about personality, so we don't really know who he is besides his songs. Why would he play this bad part? Why is this really sexual? Which I think it's this way because of what they're trying to say in the show, how the music is. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, I think this was the first episode where I started to come around and was like, oh, maybe this show is well written. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're supposed to like most of the characters in this show.
No. There's some people I like a lot more now because of this show. I'm like, two characters. Okay, before we start on the show, let's talk about next. So next week's show, we're going to have a listener show where we take voicemails from you guys, talk about the conspiracies on Reddit, and then try to answer those questions as well. So if you want to leave a voicemail for us, do it at this number, 818-850-3765, and we will play your voicemail next week, and hopefully we can talk to you about it and answer any questions, or you guys want to discuss something.
I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited for people's opinions.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who like the show, Marla.
I mean, and if they don't, I'd love to hear from you too, because nothing. Never mind, I'm not going to say it.
Well, do another sentence.
I'm really excited because, and if you have negative feedback, send it, because I'm really excited to have a lively debate to spice up this very bland podcast.
You want to do one more take?
Okay, I'll count down. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I'm really excited. Like, if you want to give us your open and honest feedback about, you know, the show, our show, how you feel about it, like, send them in. You know, this is an open forum. We're all on this journey together.
Well put, Marla. Well put. I like that. I know. But again, we have a lot of people who do like the show and give us good ratings or, you know, good. Yeah, so it's fine. We shouldn't focus on the negativity. Like my favorite rapper is, like, one of my favorite rappers is Wale, and he talks about how much people hate him, and it gets annoying. I'm like, people, I like you, so you should stop talking about negativity.
I mean, you even said Jesus has haters, so.
Yeah. Are we better than Jesus? No. No. Jesus had, speaking of Jesus, we'll talk about the show. I was actually trying to look about the Last Supper, because of the placement of people at the table.
Oh, that is such a good call out, Derek. No, yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look at the placement. I'm like, okay, where is Judas in this? And why is Teachers at the head of the table? And is Jocelyn in the center, kind of like Jesus was? And maybe I'm reaching, but I don't know. Let's start the show. I really love this episode. I got really hyped. I'm like, all right, this is what we're doing. There's been, like, Easter eggs. There's been foreshadowing. This is great. I love where it's going. What do you think overall about the show? You said it was, like, the best episode you saw.
It was the best episode I saw. I think the things are starting to make more sense. We're used to maybe the shock and awe of the show that is The Idol. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going, it's episode 3. We're going to see some boobs. We're going to see some butts. We're going to hear some crazy stuff fly out of Tedros's mouth. I think I'm at the point where I can, I don't know, dissociate myself from watching and really pay attention to the art. I really like this episode. We're 3 weeks in, and I think the shock and awe of the script and the visuals have kind of subsided a little bit for me. Like, I'm used to it. I'm used to expecting that we're going to see a lot of random sex scenes for no reason and crazy shit fly out of Tedros's mouth. And I think the show is really starting to pick up, you know, this is kind of that, like, mid-season finale, if you will.
Yeah. I agree. Like, Jocelyn being naked is, like, no longer, like, a shocking thing. I'm like, okay, those are just her boobs, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I see him like every week. I agree with you. But let's talk about the show. So the show starts off with probably your favorite scene. It's Joss and Tidros riding in a car. The inside of the car is red and the outside is black, which is a theme we see all the time in the show. And Leah is driving, and then I guess Joss and Tidros are kind of getting hot and heavy in the car. A scene which you mentioned earlier that you hate, right?
No, it's actually my dream. I love it. I couldn't have written this scene better myself. A rat tail man eating. What girl doesn't want that? A girl would love a rat tailed man eating her out in public as her best friend driver drives her to like all of the hot stores in Beverly Hills. It was awesome. I loved it.
I think it's supposed to be so like trashy. That's definitely a thing. And that's definitely like a sign that Tidros doesn't even respect anyone else in the car or anyone else. So they take, Tidros takes her shopping to, you know, in Beverly Hills. And then we see Tidros just basically kind of picking up her outfits. And what did you think about the confrontation scene with Tidros and the associate that works there?
I think it was hilarious. I thought it was so funny. I think it's, well, can we go back a little
bit?
Yeah. I don't know about you, if you speak to your partner this way, I would just be absolutely chuffed if my husband said to me, I want to rip that dress and fuck you sideways in that beautiful dress of yours. I'd be like, oh my God, thank you so much, master. I love when I get treated like meat as well. So Joss and I think have a lot of similarities there. To answer your question, I think it was really funny. I think it felt like little man syndrome coming from Tedros a little bit. And perhaps he felt maybe a little bit insecure because that's not his normal element. You know what I mean? He's used to working in kind of like the underbelly of society. And now he's on Rodeo in high-end stores. Uh-huh. There's people waiting on her hand and foot. I think he felt a little bit compelled to pretend to be the alpha a little bit just so that he could fit in with her status.
Yeah, I think pretty much almost every male in her world has been kind of challenged, including her chef. Leia calls Haim and tells him about Tedros and him firing all these people. And then Tedros saying that, you know, he's the one in charge, which is he's basically peeing everywhere, trying to mark his territory. I think Tedros, here we kind of figure out he is kind of like has no clue. I think he mispronounced the word earlier or later on in the show. So it shows that he doesn't know shit. He doesn't know anything in terms of her lifestyle.
What did you think about the scene with Andres and how she's like, look, the diet's really working. I'm like, so not bloated anymore. What did you think about his reaction to her?
I don't know. You know what? I don't think it was sexual. I think it was reminding me of her mom. I think she's just trying to find anyone who cares about her. And that was someone who did. I don't know if he was lusty.
It felt lusty to me. And I don't know if that was intentional.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, you're right. I agree.
So in that sense, like maybe Tedros was warranted in marking his territory because it appeared threatening to him.
Yeah, I think anyone who shows like the attraction to Joss, he has a problem with. Because they did linger on, you know, the cook kind of touching her stomach. And which... honestly, again, he's not a doctor, bro. Like, what are you doing? Like, just because your sister come from a house full of doctors, you don't just go touch anything. Which is because that's what, you know, Tedros said too. Like, oh, my friend's a gynecologist. Should I stick my finger in people? Which
kind of a great line.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not my favorite line though. It's not my favorite line of the episode though. But it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Did you notice that a little bit of symbolism? He was wearing her black robe. Did you notice that?
No, I did not know.
Yeah. So I really think the symbolism there is maybe he's trying to skin her and wear her and be her.
Yeah, I know you're joking, but like I do think he wants the fame and all that stuff. I do think he's trying to basically be a parasite.
Yes.
So they're trying out clothes, and then we get Jocelyn fighting back when Tedros is like, "Yeah, you have no style." And what'd you think about the scene where Joss calls Tedros gay?
I thought he was gonna hit her.
It
was very good acting by Abel, because you could see his face turn when she's like, "You're gay," and he's like, "I'm not gay." Like, really serious, and I was like, "Well, fuck."
Because anyone else would be like, "Ah, that's funny, I'm not gay," but he seemed like he really was bothered by it, which makes you think there's something going on there. If there's, he is, maybe he's just.
Why do you think that he cares so much that she said that?
Because I think he wants to seem masculine. I think he wants to be the person in charge. Because I don't think Tedros is a smart person, and I think he has really old-fashioned ideas of what manliness is.
Which is interesting, because I think he surrounds himself with very alternative people.
Yeah.
I think, is one of those. He's not necessarily cis male presenting.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Tedros had a problem with homosexuality, he would have a problem with Isaac.
No, I think he just doesn't want to seem that way. But again, we don't know if Isaac is gay or not. Because Joss calls him gay, they have sex in the store, in the room, which is a very awkward scene.
I think that we hear her say, like, "Choke me again," or something.
Yeah, I think she says, like, "Daddy." Doesn't she say,
"Yeah"?
Like, yeah.
I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast with Gerard Carmichael. And he said that there's a weird intersectionality between your kink and trauma. I think that is the theme, actually, of the show. And we can get to it later. But we know that Jocelyn and her mom's relationship wasn't always the best. And in fact, they hint at that she might have been abused. We don't know up until this point that, like, how bad it was. But later in the episode, we start to find out that it was pretty bad. But anyways, Jocelyn likes the aggression and the BDSM like aspect. Uh-huh. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about what the intersectionality between, like, someone's kink and trauma is. It's very interesting to me.
Yeah. You know, they're having sex, and this is like the most awkward scene of the episode of, like, well, actually, this is probably not the most. He says he's basically going to, like, come in her. She, like, stops that immediately, which is a big plus. Like, it shows that, you know, she's not all the way under his spell at this moment. She says no, and then she walks away and basically says, like, "Hey, take care of it yourself."
Which I loved. He's like, "What am I supposed to do?" And she's like, "I don't know, figure it out yourself." That was a great scene for me, because that is probably the first time that we see a power shift where she takes it back.
Yeah, I liked it. Because I like every time Jocelyn in this episode defends herself or does anything, I'm like, okay, she's not just underneath in the spell. Mm-hmm. Leia is calling time and destiny, kind of saying, like, "Oh, this guy has moved in the house. He's challenging me, you know, wants to be in charge." Oh, I love these two characters. Like, I love Haim and in Destiny. Like,
I love Destiny so much.
Yeah, the fact that, like, okay, Haim was like, "Okay, get my gun like, that was like, okay, did you bring the gun? Is that how you guys normally roll? Is, like, do you normally bring that gun everywhere?" Which, yeah, I loved.
I love that scene. Thank God for Destiny and Haim, because that is the little bit of comedic relief we get. Otherwise, it's all dark and
it's very dark.
Abusive. Yeah.
Which is really important, because the episode is called Daybreak. Yeah, I looked up a whole bunch of stuff about, like, what that means in the Bible. I'm sorry, this is way too much and way too nerdy. So I found, like, this Bible verse, like, "Through the tender compassion of our God, through which the daybreak from on high will come to us." Again, I don't know the Bible, so don't, like, "Yo, he doesn't even know about Jesus and God." I'm sorry. I don't really know that much of the Bible, but I looked up Daybreak in the Bible, and that's what I found that could maybe talk about it. And I think Daybreak is definitely the theme of this episode.
So like the episode, they're cutting back and forth. Leia's like running down what happened earlier in the morning to Haim, and it's like, hey, I'm like really nervous. He just fired Andres and he's just acting like he owns the house. My favorite quote, because it was so outrageous. Tedros looks at Leia dead in the eyes and he goes, Leia, are you fucking retarded? And it was like so out of pocket. Like, what the fuck, dude? It's not even noon yet.
Yeah, it was very shocking. I don't know why. It was really shocking to hear him say retarded. But I don't think Teachers is like a politically correct dude.
Right, right. But yeah, again,
that was
like, so
disrespectful. Like, that was like, yeah. Yeah, just
the, like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're just meeting your best friend's new boyfriend and he looks at you, are you fucking retarded?
Yeah, like, who is this guy? Yeah. Like, where do you go in the conversation after that? Like, it's like, I don't think I am. And I don't like that you feel that way towards me. Like, what do you guys, this is awkward. What do you do after that?
Well, sticks and stones hurt my bones.
Oh, and that's your opinion. Your glue. That's your opinion. I don't think I am. But yeah, that was like, that's a big shock. So this is like my favorite scene coming up is like Tedros, Chas are there and they're talking to Destiny and Haim. And first off, we skipped something. We skipped that Haim gets a call way before while they're waiting from Andrew Finkelstein. We find out that she killed the song, that like lead single they were doing. The song is no longer hers. It is actually Diane's, but we don't find that until later. Another funny scene is like, Haim doesn't want to talk to the agents, and he tells Destiny to turn up the car volume, and then Destiny does her best Joss impression, which is really good.
She's like, tell Fink I miss him. It's just the juxtaposition of a large, full, bigger than life black woman imitating a petite ass white girl.
Yeah,
is the best.
I think that might be my favorite character. We took a poll last show asking everyone's favorite character. Josh is number one, and the second one is Xander.
Really? Yeah. Joss is everyone's favorite.
Yeah, we got one for Tedros. But I don't know. You did that evil. Maybe people like evil. I do think it's...
I think character. I can align the voter with the comment.
Okay, yeah. So she imitates Jocelyn and does a great job. Anyway, fast forward to these four meeting, and they're upstairs basically just kind of talking to Tedros. Yeah, I think
did
they,
you get the way that they were all sitting?
No. Oh yeah. Damn it, Marla. Go ahead. Tell the people.
It's okay. I knew you meant. I knew you caught it.
I did not catch it. I now get it. Go ahead.
So it's, you know, like she's. I mean, this is how I took it. I don't know if this is what you're going to say, but she was sitting in the middle, and it was. It was Haim and Destiny on one side and Tedros on the other side, and it was almost like she was the prize to be won. I looked at it was like kind of going off of the angel and devil side, right? Like two opposing sides, like, because there was a shot where she turns to look at Tedros and it almost looked like Haim and Destiny were sitting on her shoulder.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, guys, I mean, I have a little bit of depth to me too, okay?
I know that's a good, I didn't see, I'm mad I didn't see that. Damn, you're right.
It's okay, I got you.
Oh, damn, that's good. Yeah, it's definitely like kind of the pulling towards the two cults, which is like Tedros' cult, and the cult of Hollywood, of, you know, pop star. But yeah, damn, that's good.
Which, by the way, I loved the way that Haim and Destiny chose to play it, because right before they hear like all these crazy things about this guy Tedros, and then they meet him in person and they're like super fake with him, getting, oh, where do you live? Hollywood? I grew up in Hollywood. That's totally cool, man.
Yeah. Tedros is an idiot. Like, he couldn't come up with a backstory at all. He was like, yeah, I'm actually from Hollywood. It's like, no one's from Hollywood. I am. Well, it's like, cool. What high school did you go to? And he's like, I'm sorry. This is embarrassing. Actually, it was not studious. And yeah, it's like, oh, so you dropped out. Then Josh was like, hey, don't make him feel bad for dropping out. He's like, no, I dropped out too. And the best line comes, oh my God, I love this line. So the best line comes when Destiny says, like, oh, I dropped out too. And then Josh asks, like, oh, what happened? Why'd you get, you know, expelled from school? And she gives the best line of beating fake ass bitches asses, which is a really hard line to say. And it was very funny. And it was very like telling, like, hey, she's not, you know, don't mess with her.
Wait. Beating fake ass bitches asses?
Yes. Beating fake ass bitches asses.
I loved that line. What a tongue twister, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It was great. And then let's talk about how they played it. So they leave and they tell Leia, like, what a great guy. I love him.
Okay. I want to talk about this point because why gaslight Leia? Like, I found that approach so confusing because she's the only one that's like telling them what is actually going on in the house. And they're just basically like, yeah, he's great.
I don't think they respect Leia when it comes to that. And I think they need to go and adjust. I don't think they trust Leia of like, because I could see Leia just saying like, hey, I don't like him. Neither does I'm and Destiny. Like, I could see her doing that and throwing them under the bus. Like, I think Leia is not, you can trust her, but I don't think she would handle it in a better way.
Maybe. See, I don't see it that way. I feel like she is the one that has the most uninfluenced lens, if you will. Like, she is out of the spell of Tedros. And so she is giving the most real account. And she is expressing concern for Destiny and Haim to gaslight her in that way. I feel like isn't going to be good because they're not going to have any insight to then what's going on. Because then she's going to be like, well, why am I even telling these people they like him?
So you think what they did was bad? You would have like kind of plot it with her.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I can see that.
But maybe it's setting it up for something later on, like in the season.
Because I think maybe they thought eventually she's going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tedros says like my dean is coming, which is like a real guy. He's a real producer. He produces for Kanye in real life and Travis Scott. Like, he's a real person. Okay. So they go in the car. Haim was like, how do you feel about him? Destiny said, yeah, my grandma always told me never trust a man with a rat tail. Second just killer lines. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And then we find out that Diane was given the song by the other agent, which is Nikki. So what do you think about that?
Not surprised. I think they were teeing it up for it to go to her, you know. There's not a lot of second chances, it seems like, in Hollywood. It's a business. And so, like, if you're fucking with Nikki's bag, she's gonna find a way to protect it.
Of course. Okay, so we cut to I guess later on in the day, and it's just,
oh wait, Josh. No, you forgot they have sex again.
Do they have sex again?
Yeah.
Oh, again. Okay.
By the pool.
In front of
Leia, and Leia's like, fuck, dude, like, not again.
Yeah, and I think that was done on purpose. I think that was like a weird, this is someone I own. I'm reclaiming. I think maybe that's what it is. And then the next scene is just Chloe and Joss speaking about her mom. The house is like really dark. Like, it's almost every scene in the house is very dark, which is kind of why it's called Daybreak. Is, you know, you get the light at the end of the show.
I really liked the conversation. Do you want to talk about the conversation between the two of them?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I really like Chloe. I think she's feels like a safe space for Joss, and I think Joss can be real with her. And it's almost like I viewed Chloe as like innocence.
Maybe. There was like a weird, like a little sister thing.
Yeah, there. Yeah. They kind of look similar. They're both blonde. They're like sitting facing each other. I thought it was like a almost like a mirror of each other, where like Chloe is Joss before she became famous.
You know, it's weird. They also foreshadowed in previous episodes when I forgot what the scene is exactly, but Jocelyn was really upset. So she was brushing her hair very aggressively.
Mm. I
think that was like, you know, her trying to channel her mom hitting her. And the next scene, I have mixed feelings about it, but I want to hear from you. Tedros talks to Xander about the creative vision. It kind of became very confrontational. I think Tedros was looking for an argument and Xander was like, no, I agree. It sucks.
Yeah.
And I think like, oh, I can get this person on my side. This is someone I kind of push towards my team, my cult, my family. What'd you think? Because I know you love
Xander. I love Xander.
I love Xander. Yeah.
I mean, I like him. I think he's, for whatever reason, like an attractive character to me, like his don't give a fuck attitude. Then Tedros is like trying to like poke at him. He's like, yeah, it sucks. And then he's like, well, why? What are all these people in Hollywood that hate their jobs or hate what they do? It gave an air of like, this is what Hollywood wants.
This caused my Xander appreciation, my Xander stock went down a little bit. Like I was like, oh, this whole episode, I just found out more about him. I think I just don't like him as much as I did from this episode.
You think he's a bit of a sellout?
Yeah, I 100% do. I think he's going to sell out Jocelyn so he can push his vision for her. And I think like, okay, this person's listening to me. So whatever he says is going to be good for me.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think that he pretends to be anything but that. Because you hear in the last episode, he's like talking to the journalist. He's not necessarily like filtering how he feels about Jocelyn or her brand either in that that episode either.
Yeah, I agree. I think later on is when I start disliking him. We cut to, oh, we forgot what they talked about. Ted just asked like, hey, what would you do if you had full control? And Xander was like, you know, that cum picture that happened? Yo, I would use that. So I think maybe Ted just thought it was a joke. Or someone thought it was a joke, and then the fact that,
Tedros LOL'd. And he's like, actually.
Can we talk about that idea? It's bad. We can both agree, like, that's not the way to go, right? That's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. It's edgy, for sure.
Would that work? Like, if, I'm trying to think of who's, like, the person now. Billie Eilish? Like, what are you gonna, not that.
Yeah, I think Billie's too cool for that.
Actually, that might be the perfect person because this is someone we saw as like a child. And now she's like, I don't know how old Billie Eilish is. Probably like 19 or 20. Again, look it up. I'm not a Billie Eilish expert, but if she came out with that picture, it would be very shocking.
She's 21 or like Jenna Ortega.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I would not like it for either of those girls. I think I wouldn't necessarily equate those girls to Joss either. Joss to me is like Christina Aguilera circa Dirty. I think I said that before.
Yeah, I think of her as Britney Spears. I don't know Britney Spears' career. I don't know if Toxic was like the first sexual thing about Britney Spears' song. I don't know, but yeah, I can see that. But yeah, I think it's a bad move, but I do think it would be a dope album cover. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like it would be pretty dope.
I am curious to see how that would work in real life. But make that a poll question.
Okay, what?
Do you think Jocelyn's album cover, proposed picture in the album cover, is a good idea or not?
Oh, that's really easy, though. Everyone's going to say no.
I don't know. I don't know, Derek. I don't know.
Okay, that's it. Matter of fact, tell us. when you call the hotline, the voicemail line, answer that question. See if it is a really good idea. I think it would be pretty dope. It's going to be weird. I don't think you would sell that in Walmart. I think it would be like a...
But like how often how often do you see album cover anymore? But I guess every time you pull up the song, it's going to be there.
Okay. So next scene, they talk about the Come album. And then this is like a very good glimpse into the cult of Tedros. So they're in the studio. Isaac is singing. He suggests that like, hey, Joss, you want to get on this song? Joss says no. And Isaac would be, if Tedros heard that, you'd be in trouble. We find out that they have to say yes to everything and no no's. So yeah, I think that's a big glimpse into it.
Yeah, prime brainwashing, right? Like you have to say yes to anything.
So I think this is a thing that's going to come back. Isaac, or when Joss mentioned like, go kiss whatever. Go kiss what's her name. He does it. And then Shima says, well, if I asked you to kiss me, would you do it? And he didn't say no, but he said, like, Tedros would be really upset about it.
Tedros would kill me.
And then they're at the family dinner. Tedros is, of course, the head of the table, and Jocelyn is in the middle. I try to look and see if this is similar to the Last Supper, but, you know, Last Supper is all on one side anyway. But yeah, so she's giving a toast. She's wearing black. She's saying, like, hey, thank you guys for, you know, being here. You guys are like family. Tedros tells Joss about the Come album cover.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. And he's like, why not? And she goes, because I want to be taken seriously. And he's like, why?
Yeah.
And then he's like, why don't you take a risk? What did she say? She's like, I don't think it's a good risk. He's like, oh, mm-hmm. So you only take calculated risks? Not really a risk then if you calculate it. And he's like trying to twist her words. And my favorite quote from her was like, why are you trying to tell me how basically to be in the music industry? She's like, I've been in the music industry for 10 years and you just started. I was like,
yeah, there we go. And she's like, don't be rude. Yeah. And then, which is like probably one of the second messed up of this episode. It's not the grossest one of this episode. This episode, the grossest scene was when Tedros had to masturbate in the room, in the changing room, and we assume that he wiped his cum on the red dress. Okay, cool. We talk about Tedros is basically making her reveal stuff about her mom, her trauma. Which is kind of like the episode theme of the night is, you know, does trauma help you be a great artist?
Well, I thought it was an interesting way that he was able to manipulate that conversation. Like, very long, drawn out, artfully done. Maybe I shouldn't call it art. Very calculated. Like, she kind of like dishes it back to him where she's like, stop trying to tell me what to do. You haven't been in the music industry that long. And then he starts to ask her about her traumas, right? And he like slowly starts to like tease it out of her. She doesn't want to be like having this conversation at the dinner table at all, but he like pulls it out of her.
Here's what I think. I think Chloe might have told Tedros stuff about her mom. Like, I do think like that she was like being a little spy. We find out this really bad reveal that her mom was very abusive and that her whole team knew of the abuse, stood by and watched it go on, which is awful to hear, which made me dislike Xander. And
how old are we supposed to like assume that she is or was when her mom was abusing her? Like, was her mom hitting her with the hairbrush like a year ago at like 20?
Yes. Yeah.
The timeline's interesting to me because she's supposed to be this like super famous pop star. Mm-hmm. And Tedros says something like, oh, when was the last song you wrote yourself? And she says Daybreak, which is the title of the episode. He goes, oh, mm-hmm. that a year and a half ago off your second album. And so I'm like, if she's this global pop star, she only has two albums. When does she start this singing career? And like, when?
See, I assume she was like 25 and she started when she's 15. That's what I assumed. And I think it doesn't matter. I think it happened last year, and because she said, when did it stop? When she was 2 weeks from the chemo. Mm-hmm. So I think abuse is not about like the size, it's about the mental thing. So that's why, like, you could see a guy could be 7 foot and still be abused by his mom or dad who's smaller. That's just psychological. We found out that everyone was complacent around this.
And then he excuses Leia.
Yeah, it says like, hey, 99 is bedtime. You got school in the morning.
Which maybe it might be different for me if I were in her situation. But where is Leia's limit in just getting freaking dragged and just taking out of pocket comment up the ass from Tedros?
Well, so she looked for Joss, like, hey, do you want me to go? And Joss said yes. So I think if that didn't happen, I don't think she would have left. But I do think because she left, this thing happened of Tedros asking, hey, you know, if you were to get hit with a brush, if the abuse happened still, would it be good for you? Would you be stuck any longer? And she said, you know.
But he, I think, planted that. He set it up that way.
You think so? Yeah, because it's a way of being full in control of her.
I don't think she ever thought of the hairbrush as quote motivation or inspiration until he basically was like, your mom was doing a good thing for you because that's the last time you wrote a song was when she was alive and when she was beating the shit out of you.
Yeah. And then the hardest scene to watch was Tedros beats her with a hairbrush and Xander is there watching everything. Everyone's just kind of really sad. It's all dark and black. And Tedros there's fire and there's flames basically coming off his face, like the reflection of it, seeming like a devil. She gets kind of like this weird baptism of her being on knees and basically, okay, now Tedros is the new god.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. And then Tedros nurses her back to health, you know, which is a common abuse thing that happens. Daybreak happens. The night goes and then Tedros opens up the blinds. Is like, oh, daybreak is here. That's the episode.
And then she goes, thank you for taking care of me.
Yeah, that's the episode. Insane. That's one the best thing. I love this episode. I wanted to stand up and applaud. Yeah.
The best thing was when it ended.
I was satisfied. I'm like, okay, I like this. Now they know. I know what they know. Like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it felt very much like HBO, back to like the cliffhanger, like, holy shit, what just happened? Yeah, kind of HBO show. I think going back to Xander, I think Xander is a creative, and this is maybe me sticking up for Xander a little bit. I wonder if the lines of art and morality are blurred for Xander because he's such a creative. Yeah. He's like probably doesn't think that, you know, this hairbrushing is great. But it might work. You know what I mean? It's art.
I think you're a Xander apologist.
I can't.
Cause I get it. It's hard to stand up to someone's mom. Yeah. Especially if it gives them permission to beat her. But like, I think he could have done something or said something or done anything. So that's why the sock for Xander went down for me.
You're a boy hater. Yeah.
That's a great episode. That's it, man. It that's our show. We're gonna end exactly like the TV show. It's just gonna abruptly end. Thank you guys for listening again. Call next week for your voicemails. We'd love to hear anything you have to say. I guess I'll see you guys next week for Idle Chatter. My name is Derek Brown, and with me
is Marley Brando.
Here we go. Okay. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Come back and please give us a call. All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.